This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Our opening hymn, written by Keith and Kristen Getty and Stuart Townend, is Come People of the Risen King. Join in if you know it.
Come people of the risen King, who delight to bring Him praise. Come all and tune your hearts to sing to the morning star of grace. From the shifting shadows of the earth, we will lift our eyes to Him, where steady arms of mercy reach to gather children in. Rejoice, rejoice, let every tongue rejoice. One heart, one voice, O Church of Christ, rejoice.
The Passion of the Christ was quite a controversial film when it was brought out in 2004. Many people objected that the excessive violence in it was unnecessary. Nevertheless, it was a box office success. But its sequel, The Resurrection, is in the making right now, starring the same actor who played the part of Jesus, Jim Caviezel. It will begin where The Passion finished off, at the point where Jesus is seen rising from the dead and exiting the tomb, going out into the world with wounds visible on his hands. But I wonder how they'll portray this risen Jesus. Today we'll be looking at how the Bible portrays the risen Jesus through the eyes of his disciples, particularly Thomas, who incidentally wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to his followers in the upper room. But we're told in the Bible that the risen Jesus appeared to his disciples many times, convincing them that he was alive. He could be touched. He ate food. He could make breakfast. So this was no ghost and no hallucination, as he appeared to over 500 followers at one time, according to St. Paul. Jesus' resurrected body bore the marks of crucifixion, and the spear wound could clearly be seen in his side. Mysteriously, he could also appear in a room when doors had been locked. But then I suppose if he could work miracles in his lifetime, how much more could he do so now? Not only did he talk with his disciples, he came to teach them from Scripture, all the passages in Scripture that were about him. Luke puts it this way. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." From this it seems that a golden thread runs through the Bible, which refers to the Messiah who was to come, not only as a king, but as a lamb for the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Let's first listen to Linda Roberry singing a beautiful hymn, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives."
Thank you. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives to bless me with his He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to feed. He lives to bless in time of need. He lives to grant me rich supply. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to comfort me when faint. He lives to hear my soul's complaint. He lives to silence all troubled heart. He lives our blessings to impart. He lives my kind wise
Let's listen to the story where Thomas comes to terms with the fact that Jesus really is alive, and let's hear how he reacts. Today's reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 19 to the end. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I wonder if you know how it feels to have everything you've pinned your hopes on smashed, or what it feels like to be disillusioned. That's how the disciples had felt when Jesus died. They'd left everything to follow him, their work, their families, their security, and now they were in hiding, terrified for their lives behind locked doors. They certainly didn't want to share a similar fate. And it's interesting that the Bible actually records that it was the women who showed more courage than the men at Jesus' crucifixion and on the morning of his resurrection. So great doubt and uncertainty was clearly there at first in the hearts of the disciples in that upper room, even though two of them, Peter and John, had seen for themselves the empty tomb, and even though they'd heard Mary's story about seeing the risen Jesus. It's as if her story had been dismissed by them as fanciful. This song, "Say Goodbye to Uncertainty," was written by an old friend of mine, Steve Metcalf from Durham. It speaks powerfully to those of us who often live with uncertainties and doubts.
For too long now, I've been staring at the ground, trying to dig myself a hole. Now I can see there's a path in front of me, and I know that's where I'm gonna go. Say goodbye to those nights when I would cry. Say goodbye to the reason why. For I know now just where I'm gonna be. Say goodbye to uncertainty. When I was young, I thought life was just for fun, and the world was just another place to go. Now I can see that that's not reality. We only have one chance to throw. So say goodbye to those nights when I would cry. Say goodbye to the reason why. For I know now just where I'm gonna be. Say goodbye to uncertainty. I think of times when I was all alone. Now I can see. Up now, and I'm staring at the clouds. There's no one there to get in my way. And I can see this path in front of me, and on it's where I'm gonna stay. So say goodbye to those nights when I would cry. Say goodbye to the reason why. Now, just where I'm gonna be. Say goodbye to uncertainty. Yes, I know now just where I'm gonna be. Say goodbye to uncertainty.
But when Jesus himself suddenly stands before his disciples and shows them his wounds, to say they must have been overjoyed is surely an understatement. They must have been speechless at the sight of him, quite ecstatic. They certainly then said goodbye to all their uncertainties. But then, of course, Thomas wasn't there to see what they all saw. They say in life we can either be a cup half full or a cup half empty. We're usually one or the other. From what little we do know of Thomas, he seems to have been a bit of a pessimist as well as a sceptic. Sometime before, when Jesus had told his disciples he was going back to Judea, where they'd already faced much opposition, Thomas replied, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Of course, this could have been brave talk rather than pessimism, who knows? But on hearing what the disciples had to say, Thomas stubbornly refuses to believe them when they report that the risen Lord is alive and has been there with them, saying to them, "Unless I see it for myself, I won't believe." Perhaps this was his frustration speaking and missing out on the biggest event in history. I love this next song, written by another friend of mine from the Northeast, Terry Patterson, who lives in Wallsend. He sings it here on the album The Best of United Folk, and it's called "Believe in Me." In it there's a line, "My arms are always open when you listen to my words."
Have you ever been so lonely? Has your world just fallen in? Heavy burdens on your shoulders, 'cause your heart can't stand the pain. You're afraid I will protect you. Call my name and you'll be heard. For my arms are always open when you listen to my words. You'll be free.
So when Jesus next appears to the disciples, he seems aware of Thomas's response and goes directly to him with the words, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas cries out to him, "My Lord and my God," not in any flippant or irreverent way, for a Jew would never have taken God's name in vain. No, Thomas speaks in a spirit of wonder and awe. Note that Jesus doesn't rebuke Thomas for addressing him as his Lord and his God. He goes on to say, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." There's much in Thomas to be admired, though. He is honest, he's open and truthful. He's like many people today who won't accept facts unless they see the proof for themselves. It's natural for people to be like this, to analyse everything. But what Jesus is saying to Thomas here is belief comes first. Then you discover God and sense his presence, and that's when you find yourself truly blessed. If we can't bring ourselves to believe blindly like this, then perhaps we can offer to God the prayer of another man in the Bible whose son was ill, a prayer which is told in Mark's Gospel 9:24, when he says to Jesus, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Thomas gives us all hope today, though, for if such a skeptic can be convinced and his life transformed by witnessing Jesus in his risen state, then here is yet another who convinces us of the truth of the resurrection. Here's a song called "Bless the Lord, O My Soul."
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. Time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship your holy name. Bless you, Lord.
One of my favourite songs there, from Matt Redman. Whatever uncertainties, doubts and fears are in your thoughts today, especially those of you who are in hospital, may I leave you with the words Jesus spoke to his disciples when he first appeared to them in the upper room after his resurrection. Hear him speaking these words directly to you today. Peace be with you. These words are a normal, everyday Middle Eastern greeting. They actually mean, may God give you every good thing. And may his peace rest upon all those you know and love. Thank you for listening this morning. And my thanks to my technician, Andrew Ridgwick. Say goodbye, Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
May I leave you with a blessing from the Northumbria community called My Prayer for You. Bye for now.
May the Father of life pour out his grace on you. May you feel his hand in everything you do. And be strengthened by the things he brings you through. This is my prayer for you. May the Son of God be Lord in all your ways. May he shepherd you the length of all your days, and in your heart may he receive the praise. This is my prayer for you. And despite how simple it may sound, I pray his grace will abound and motivate everything you do. And may the fullness of his life be shed through you. May his spirit comfort you, make you strong. May he discipline you gently when you're wrong. And in your heart, may he give you his song. This is my prayer.